This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The ACLJ files a federal lawsuit against the FBI. The issue, James Comey and his spies in the White House.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, here it is. His copy of the lawsuit is filed this morning. American Center for Law and Justice versus the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The case number is 119CV. I mean, Civil Action 2643, Complaint for Declaratory Relief and Injunctive Relief. This is an outgrowth of our FOIA request that was sent back on July 25th, 2019. We did not get a response to that, which is typically how these things go. This is what we've got. Now, remember, there was a very interesting report in Real Clear Politics that said that James Comey had an agent inside the White House who reported back to FBI headquarters about the president and his aides, according to officials that were familiar with the matter. This was according to Real Clear Politics. Let me read this to you. At the same time, Comey was personally scrutinizing the president during meetings in the White House and phone conversations from the FBI. He had an agent inside the White House working on the Russian investigation, where he reported back to the FBI headquarters about Trump and his aides, according to officials familiar with the matter. Now, let me just add to that. And remember, this is at the same time that James Comey was telling the president that he was not under investigation, which is what James Comey was telling everybody. But that wasn't, in fact, the case, obviously. You now then have that the agents was Anthony Ferrente, who specialized in cybercrime, left the White House around the same time that Comey was fired and soon joined a security consulting firm where he contracted with BuzzFeed to lead the news site's efforts to verify the Steele dossier. Now, that's one person. And then you had a second person, Jordan Ray Kelly, who worked also closely with Robert Mueller when he headed the Bureau, replaced Ferrente upon his White House exit. Though she signed security logs for him to continue entering the White House as a visitor while Ferrente was employed by BuzzFeed. Kelly left the White House last
year.
Go ahead.
To verify. So he starts his own consulting firm, gets hired by BuzzFeed to verify the dossier after he is placed by Jim Comey on the White House National Security Council as part of their staff. He leaves. He comes in right as President Trump takes office. He leaves in about April of 2017, starts a consulting firm that then gets hired by BuzzFeed, which ultimately publishes the Steele dossier, to verify aspects of the Steele dossier. His replacement, Jordan Ray Kelly, ultimately joins the consulting firm with Anthony Ferrante. So his replacement, who kept signing him in while he was a reporter for BuzzFeed and doing the Steele dossier verification, then joins him in their consulting firm, FTI Consulting. But that's not all. It doesn't end there. Then there's a third Comey spy, Tashina Gower, and she's believed to, at least as of 7/22, still work at if not the National Security Council, the Department of Justice National Security Division.
So all of this is going on. I mean, you have to understand this, folks. All of this is going on while they had this counterintelligence investigation Crossfire Hurricane. I mean, all of this is taking place. So where's what we want to know? We want to know what actually happened here. And the way to find that out is you file a Freedom of Information Act request, and when the government doesn't respond, which typically they don't, you go to federal court and you get ordered releases, and then the documents get released. And we're going to find out who was there, what they were doing, what James Comey was after, who he talked to, how many times these people came in, what the context of their conversations were. And was this, in fact, as it appears to be, that James Comey was basically putting his own people in the White House as spies? Now, that's not, you know, some people say that sounds conspiratorial. Well, this was reported in Real Clear Investigations, part of Real Clear Politics.
Yeah.
There's been no denials of this, by the way, by anybody. There's a lot of no comments. But we're going to get comments. It's going to be comments from the Department of Justice or the Federal Bureau of Investigation, because we're going to get answers. We're going to take more of this. We'll take your calls as well at 800-684-3110. Spies at the White House. James Comey. Higher Loyalty is his book. You know, even the left has gone after James Comey in the last week, which is good because he deserves to be gone after. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Last month, we told you we sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the FBI and other offices of the Department of Justice so we could determine for ourselves what James Comey and his circle of corruption had done in their efforts to spy on the Trump administration. And we just told you in the last segment about these, you know, individuals that were basically detailed over from the FBI over to the White House. So we've now had to file a lawsuit. So we're going to find out exactly what these people were doing. But I want to tell you something, that this was James Comey had told the president on multiple occasions, three separate times, that the president was not under any kind of investigation. This was prior to, of course, James Comey being fired. But the fact is that there was a counterintelligence investigation called Crossfire Hurricane, which we're now learning a lot about, the FISA warrant issues coming out and all of this. But listen to what, this was during the hearing with James Comey, Representative Collins. Listen to this exchange.
Did you limit that statement to counterintelligence investigations, or were you talking about any kind of FBI investigation?
I didn't use the term counterintelligence. I was speaking to him and briefing him about some salacious and unverified material. It was in the context of that he had a strong and defensive reaction about that not being true, and my reading of it was important for me to assure him we were not personally investigating him.
So I think this is what's important here. He said he wasn't investigating him, and he personally assured him. Now we're finding out it looks like that was a total misstatement by James Comey. Now, we don't, you know, look, until we get the documents and see exactly what takes place here, we don't know. But this idea that that James Comey wasn't targeting the president at this point at least seems absurd based on the evidence that we've gathered. Now, we're going to find out a lot more when we actually get the actual documents. That's going to tell us a lot more what's going on here. But needless to say, what was said to Senator Collins by James Comey, the salacious and unverified dossier, when that FISA warrant comes out, or when it's released, or as the Inspector General report comes out on the FISA issue, I expect, we'll see it when we see it, that it's going to be pretty damaging to the leadership of the FBI and other agencies, including Brennan and Clapper, I would suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen to this. This is from the Real Clear Investigations report. Knowledgeable sources inside the Trump White House say that Comey carved out an extraordinary new position for Ferranti, which allowed him to remain on reserve status at the FBI while working in the White House as a cybersecurity advisor on the National Security Council. In an unprecedented action, Comey created a new FBI reserve position for Ferranti, enabling him to have an ongoing relationship with the agency, the FBI, retaining his clearances, and enabling him to come back into the Bureau headquarters. This is from a former National Security Council official who requested anonymity on this matter. Between the election and April 2017, when Ferranti finally left the White House, the Trump National Security Division supervisor was not allowed to get rid of Ferranti. He could not be fired by the division supervisor of the White House National Security Council. Instead, Ferranti continued working in direct conflict with a no-contact policy between the White House and the Department of Justice. Only Comey could remove him from the National Security Council staff.
I mean, look, I mean, this is, you're putting your people in there and this unique detailing, and there appears to be no prior evidence that this ever happened before, this kind of arrangement. There are people that get detailed over. That happens, or they switch jobs. But to be reporting back to the FBI while
you don't do that.
I mean, that, look, here's why James Comey has got issues. Because this stuff is the tip of the iceberg. This is what we know, what you know. Could you imagine what the U.S. Attorney Durham is finding out, what William Barr is finding out, the Attorney General of the United States, what Michael Horowitz is finding out? They're finding out the information that none of us have access to. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. Now, this is what's so interesting, and this is a great question that came in from Dwayne on Facebook. We'll take your calls on air, by the way, too, if you've got a call or comment, 1-800-684-3110. How does Comey justify wanting a special counsel? He was covering his own tracks. Remember, he made the statement, and let's go find the statement. We have it, where in one of the hearings, he makes the statement that I released this memo to a friend of mine who then sent it to the media so that there would be an appointment of a special counsel. So I want to play that for you because that's Dwayne, that is a great question, and that ties right into this nonsense that was going on this entire time.
So I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
I want to know what those variety of reasons are, by the way, James Comey, Mr. Higher Loyalty. What are the variety of reasons that you didn't want to do that? So you had your friend do it. And you got the appointment of a special counsel. And what a fiasco that has been. Let's just be blunt. Okay? I am not going to retrace the irregularities of this investigation from the outset. I will hit you three highlights right now. Page and Strzok. There's one, two and three, actually. Okay? You can't even believe it. Then two, not only were they doing what they did with the texts going back and forth, then Bob Mueller's office allows them to erase it. Destroy the evidence, number two. And number three, the other phone is put back into circulation. So does this tell you what's going on here? Now we find out that that James Comey had people in 2017, obviously well before he was fired, inside the White House trying to figure out what was going on so they report back to the FBI because of their counterintelligence investigation. While he's telling the president you're not under investigation on three separate occasions at least. This is what you're dealing with. And I think that this points to what the problem is here. And that's why at the American Center for Law and Justice, we have a government accountability project. This is a big deal.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I've got a brand new book about this. It comes out September 24th. The title is interesting. One of our chapters is Exposing the Den of Vipers, the ACLJ FOIA Practice. It's exactly what we're doing right here. I mean, it's a den of vipers. When you realize that you had Jim Comey come up with a brand new position, the word they use is extraordinary, for an FBI agent after FBI agent after FBI agent, three in a row, one who then becomes a BuzzFeed reporter to verify the dossier.
You can't even make this up.
Put all this together, but right, he creates his own position. No one stops him from doing so, that only he can remove the person, even though they're not working for the FBI. They're still detailed to the FBI, but they are working for the White House National Security Council, which gets the most classified information and is supposed to have a degree of separation from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. In fact, it would violate federal law to be sharing back and forth classified information without authorization from higher up officials. But yet these people could not be fired or terminated by the White House National Security Council staff. Only Jim Comey could remove them, or ultimately they would leave and then be replaced by someone else Jim Comey picked.
Exactly right. So, I mean, think about that for a moment. All right, we got phone calls coming in. We get comments coming in. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Let me encourage people, too. I mean, so from that chapter, the next Red Wave, it's out September 24th. You can pre-order it now. And again, wherever books are sold, places like Amazon, if you pre-order it now,
whatever
the price is in Barnes & Noble, they actually charge you the price the day of the book is out, and you get it the day the book comes out in your mailbox. TheNextRedWave.com has got all the places you can order the book, and we really appreciate you doing that. Let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Sharon in California on line one.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi. I just, what I was saying to the screener is that I guess my belief is that this, the double standard is so ingrained, so deeply ingrained, that there will never be true justice. I think that when the chips start to fall, those seeking justice will see the tangled web and how deep this goes, and could be fearful that the wrong people will be brought to justice. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, but I've got tremendous confidence in Bill Barr as the Attorney General. I really do. I mean, I've known Bill Barr for a long time. He is he's been an Attorney General before. This is not his first rodeo, that's for sure. He's done this before. I am confident that he will follow the rules and follow the evidence and take it where the evidence leads. The decision not to prosecute James Comey on the leak of the information was a calculated decision that the Department of Justice made. That does not, remember, that's one small sliver of a much broader investigation. So I don't think anybody should be reading too much into this, other than we're going to get other reports. And you got Durham doing a big report on this matter. And I think that is where this goes. Look, there was wrongdoing. There's no question about it. The FISA abuse was legendary here. But that's the reason why we go to court. That's the reason why that we are taking action that we're taking. And we're going to take this action by going to federal court and getting justice. And we're going to get the answers to these questions. That's why this lawsuit that I'm holding in my hand, for those that are watching on TV or on Facebook or Periscope or other social media platforms, that's why we file these lawsuits. And that's exactly what happened here. That's why your support of the ACLJ always makes a huge difference, by the way, at ACLJ.org. We've got an email out on this case today. And this is a sign the petition now to hold people accountable. It's exactly what it's about. You could sign. If you don't get the email, sign them up at ACLJ.org. Follow us on Twitter at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. It's a great way for you to stay engaged with us. We're going to take your calls when we come back from the break, joined by some of our experts, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, we have filed a lawsuit in federal court against the FBI. This is information about the Comey spying, Comey having spies in the White House. Looks like there are at least two. I mean, that's kind of how the data is showing right now. Wes, you've had security clearances. You were in the Pentagon. You're in the were in the military. This kind of intrigue, I would call it, is really unprecedented.
It's unprecedented, and I think to the average American, it's disheartening and discouraging. This is not supposed to happen. Basically, what we are uncovering here is an obvious conspiracy, a conspiracy led by the director of the FBI who goes in ostensibly to brief the president, you know, about the investigation and the Russia, you know, allegations.
And the so-called salacious and unverified dossier.
When in fact...
When they were using it for FISA warrant.
Yeah, when in fact what he was doing, instead of acting as the director of the FBI, he was acting as a routine FBI agent doing an investigation, trying to gather incriminating evidence from the president while he is supposedly briefing him.
Now, this is where the nonsense is. Now, Than, you raised something during the break. It's important. So we allege in the complaint in federal lawsuit a violation of the Freedom of Information Act, but we also added a second count. It's called an impermissible practice pattern and or policy of violating the Freedom of Information Act, and that is it's requiring us to go to court on these to get information. They're not even responding to these until you go to court, and then you find a treasure trove of information, actually.
That's right, Jay. I mean, we've been down this road with the State Department before. The federal statute here requires the agency to respond to us within 20 days with certain material. Doesn't mean they have to return everything over within 20 days, but they do have to give us an initial response. Jay, both the State Department and the FBI now have a pattern and a practice of not doing that. They just ignore the initial request, even though the statute requires it. So you and Jordan have been talking about what we're asking for, and we still want that information. That's what count one demands. It alleges that there's a violation of the FOIA statute and demands they turned over the relevant documents. But Jay, count two alleges an impermissible pattern and practice, a violation of that 20-day period, and not even trying to comply, Jay. So it's really the next level. We've been down it in several lawsuits with the State Department. Now we're going down it with the FBI. It's sort of the next layer in this.
Yeah, so I want to play for you. This is an interview that Sandra Smith on Fox did with Devin Nunez, and I think this is important for you to understand what was actually going on here. Take a listen.
Was he acting within or outside of his authority based on that answer?
You know, a question that we need to have answered is that how is it that the Crossfire Hurricane team, the team looking into President Trump, how did they get to decide what was classified or not classified? Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important question.
So, Wes, in your experience with handling classified information, how is that done?
Who gets to decide?
Yeah.
The person who generates the document gets to decide the classification level.
Yeah.
And if you try to declassify something, that person has to be brought back into the loop, and they have to okay this being declassified.
Yeah.
And, of course, not everyone has the authority to classify information. But, you know, the FBI director does, the president, a lot of different people in the military. But whoever sets the initial classification, that cannot be removed without that person agreeing to have it removed, unless the president, of course, declassifies.
Harry, what is your reaction to this? I mean, the spying in the White House, this whole process of what was going on with the FBI and James Comey.
Well, my first reaction, Jay, is the legal phrase res ipsa loquitur, that the thing speaks for itself. If it walks like a duck, if it acts like a duck, it is likely a duck. If the FBI leadership acts like there is a conspiracy, and if it looks like a conspiracy, it is likely to be a conspiracy. Why else would Comey assure the President of the United States on January the 7th, 2017, that he wasn't the target of the investigation?
That was why he was president-elect, and he did it three other times while he was president, or two other times while he was president.
The clear and unmistakable inference from the evidence gathered by the Inspector General suggests President Trump was always the target, and the interview with James Comey that James Comey helped to set up was designed as a basis to spark a further investigation. In other words, they were trying to elicit information, incriminating information from the president by first assuring him that he wasn't under an investigation, and then Comey inserted three spies, effectively, in the White House. Tony Ferrante, Tashina Gower, and Jordan Ray Kelly. All of those individuals seem to have been tasked with one purpose and one purpose only, to provide incriminating information to the FBI. So I conclude that there was indeed, in all likelihood, a conspiracy.
So I want to add one thing to this that people, I think it's a fact we people forget because there's so many facts here. That do you remember, and I hope our audience does, but if not, this will be a reminder. Do you remember when James Comey said that, and I don't think we have this, they can look, our team can look, but during one of the hearings, he said, they talked about General Flynn and the whole issue with General Flynn and how he decided to go talk to General Flynn. He said, I did it to this White House. I wouldn't have done it with other White House, but this White House, it was in the beginning. Things were confused. I thought I could get my guys in there and get out and get more information. Do you want your FBI director trying to knowingly violate someone's right to counsel? I mean, think about that for a moment. I mean, I've thought about that yesterday. That James Comey had the audacity and the nerve, and McCabe, to say that they were going to put somebody in to interview General Flynn because they saw a weakness within the corporate structure, the operating structure of the White House 2 months into the administration, so that we could tell him, oh, you don't need a lawyer. We just got to ask you a couple of questions. And then they try to get him to plea to account of perjury. But you didn't need a lawyer.
Without disclosing exculpatory evidence.
This is nonsense. Yeah. I mean, do you understand how this is nonsense? This whole matter from the beginning has been baloney. It's been nonsense. And now the American people are seeing it in living color. And, you know, played out. You saw Bob Mueller's testimony. That was the crescendo of this? That was the end? Yeah? So now we're going to get the Pfizer abuse. Wait until that comes out. I mean, the point is that we've allowed this to be normal, and it's not. This is not how government agencies are supposed to work. This is not normal. This is not appropriate. This is not the way it's supposed to work, Wes.
Yeah, and this is unethical.
Oh, yeah, and illegal.
Well, I was going to say, John Durham will probably find that many aspects of this is not only unethical, it's illegal. And basically what we have here, and Jay, I don't think it's ever happened in the history of the United States, you had a covert operation being launched against a sitting president of the United States.
And then you took it inside the White House.
Yes.
To
yes.
have FBI
you
agents
plant
in here.
Spies in the White House. Yeah. When the supervisor Ferrante in the NSC tried to have him removed, James Comey blocked the removal.
This is, I mean, folks, this is unreasonable. All right, we're getting ready to take a break. Jordan's got a great book out, coming out in just a couple of weeks, The Next Red Wave. I'm encouraging you, as we take a break here, go ahead and go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. Order your copy now. It'll be out in September 21st. You'll be able to get 24th. Yeah, at least when you order it, you'll get it. They'll charge you the day it comes out, but you'll get it the day it comes out. And it's a great book. It's called The Next Red Wave. We encourage you to get it as well, and you can start ordering those books now. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you buy your books. We want to encourage you to do that. It makes a big difference if we can get you to buy that book early. Obviously, it gets more attention to the book, and that's what we're trying to do. And there's some information about this in that book. All right, awesome. When we come back from the break, we'll take your calls and comments as well.
1-800-684-3110. Join us on the air. Second half hour coming up. We got a few lines open. 1-800-684-3110. For those of you on the line, we will get to your phone calls. We'll start with those. We come back from this break. 1-800-684-3110. All the information we're talking about today, too, is up at ACLJ.org. Our press release, the complaint we filed, the initial FOIA request we filed, it's all at ACLJ.org, so you can see the work we're doing there.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.
Freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, the American Center for Law and Justice has filed a two-count lawsuit against the FBI. This is on spies in the White House, James Comey's plants, I'll call them. We filed two aspects, not just a violation of the Freedom of Information Act, but also an impermissible practice and pattern of violating the Freedom of Information Act because it's taking lawsuits to get this information. Then, you know, I know there's all these congressional hearings that they're going to try to do in September and October, and then it turns into political season. This is what they're afraid of, though. You know that the Jerry Nadlers and the Adam Schiffs of the world and the Elijah Cummings are worried about what is going to come out in this thing. James Comey is now completely discredited. I saw in a lot of the networks, because I watched them all because I have to go on all of them, and I saw even there these people were saying James Comey was not an honest broker. Look what he did in the Hillary Clinton matter. He was a serial violator of policies and practices of the FBI. He was asking for an apology. I mean, that was absurd. He didn't get vindicated. It's 73 pages of how you violated the rules. He thinks he had the authority to overstep. I mean, think about this. He thought he had the authority, Harry. I'll go back to Thanos in a moment here. He thought he had the authority to overstep Loretta Lynch, who was the then Attorney General of the United States, in the Clinton matter.
Absolutely. So I think it's clear beyond question that James Comey is tremendously gifted. He is gifted with hubris and pride,
Yes. But
he's also gifted with incompetence. So he misunderstood or misread the law, for instance, with respect to the Hillary Clinton investigation. He added an intent element which was clearly and unmistakably missing with respect to the statute. So he doesn't really understand the law. So one of the things that would be really helpful for James Comey is to go back to law school and to actually learn the law. Secondarily, he should go back and learn some humility rather than writing additional books under the rubric a higher loyalty.
Yeah.
A higher loyalty to what?
Yeah, to James Comey.
Yes.
That's what. All right, so Than, they're on break. They're coming back. They're going to have these hearings. But they know. I mean, the committees know that this is all now political theater, and they know what's coming in these reports. It's not going to be good for them.
There are two things, Jay. One, on the political calendar point. Look, Congress just isn't very good at this because they do get sucked into the political calendar, and that's really why we engage this FOIA practice, Jay. We have to fill that void so the information is not lost, so that we continue to retain it, and the next time they return to it, we will have it available to them. That's point number one. Point number two, Joe, Jay, and I think it goes back to the point you made about Democrats in Washington, D.C. know where this is going. Look, Jay, nobody elected James Comey, but he used his position to do two things. He used it to spy on a president that the American people did elect. He used it to spy through the FISA courts on American citizens. And Jay, he also used it to violate FBI policies on retaining sensitive documents. I don't want anybody to forget this. I think a lot of people thought the IG report exonerated him. It did exactly the opposite. I'll read you one sentence. This report, we conclude that Comey's retention, handling, and dissemination of certain memos violated department and FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement. Jay, if I were him, the last thing I would be doing is pointing to this report as an exoneration, because it was actually pretty close to convicting him. And like Jordan said, this is the tip of the iceberg. The ones that are coming, they're more serious than just leaking memos.
Yeah. So Jordan wrote a book called The Next Red Wave that actually gets into some of this.
Yeah, and how it started, you know, long before just this incident. Remember the tarmac meeting. Remember all of these individuals were involved with the Clinton investigation.
Yeah,
everyone involved in the Russia investigation,
including Peter Strzok
and Jim Comey, and everyone was involved in the Clinton investigation. So their corruption started there when they were trying to help Hillary Clinton get elected. Let's just be quite honest about it. They wanted Hillary Clinton to beat Donald Trump, because Donald Trump was going to drain the swamp. And look at where Peter Strzok is now. Unemployed. Andy McCabe, unemployed. Jim Comey.
CNN.
We'll see how long that lasts. Jim Comey wrote a book, but I think other than that, I guess a law professor part-time. But again, no longer employed in their powerful roles. For these guys, it wasn't about money. It was about power. They all lost their power. President Trump started to drain the swamp, but he's not done yet. And that's what this book is about. That this swamp is not yet drained. We better be ready to fight. We need the next red wave. Learn how we get there. Buy the next red wave. Go to thenextredwave.com to see all the places you can do so.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls. We are filing in federal court a lawsuit against the FBI. We filed the FOIA request, gave them ample time to reply. They did not. We've added a second count in this we've already done two FOIAs with the FBI. This is the third time. Not only do they not reply, but it's so egregious, their lack of replying for the information, that it's its own count in the complaint that we filed. Page 3 of the complaint we filed today in federal court in Washington, D.C. Think about it. Obviously, Jim Comey's name is in here, but think about the others. Think about how many times you've heard these folks' names. General Counsel James Baker. Remember, he started showing up on CNN. Deputy Director and Acting Director Andrew McCabe, now on CNN. Deputy Assistant Director of Counterintelligence Peter Strzok, not yet on television. And McCabe's deputy counsel, Lisa Page. Don't think she wants to be on TV either. Comey's chief of staff, Jim Rybicki. David Badwich from the director's office. Michael Steinbeck from the director's office. Trisha Anderson from the office from OGC. Bill Priestap, who oversaw all counterintelligence, foreign counterintelligence. And Jonathan Maffa from the counterintelligence division. All of these individuals are named, and we want to know the communications they had along with Jim Comey, with the three people that Jim Comey sent to the White House to act as spies. Those three people, again, you get Anthony Ferranti, Jordan Ray Kelly, and Tashina Gower. But think about all those names. I mean, this is the whole that Den of Vipers my book talks about. This is the Den of Vipers exposed again. They were exposed once during the Clinton investigation. They were exposed during the Russia investigation. Now they're exposed for spying on the White House. Some of it might have had to do with Russia. Others, I think they just wanted that deep state to know everything and anything that was going on at a classified level so that they had the most power and the most leverage over every individual in Washington, D.C., the Herbert Hoover style of FBI, which we don't like in the United States. We don't support that kind of style of FBI in the United States of America. So again, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's get right to them. Dave in Nevada, on line one. Thanks for holding, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Jay. Hi, yep. Jordan. I just want to say thanks to you and your crew for all you do.
Thanks.
Just real quick, I'm a retired military guy, and I'm also a retired federal police chief. former criminal investigator for the OIG and for the State Department.
Yep.
And I'm kind of, I'm just baffled. I'm totally baffled at this. James Comey admitted to the OIG that he violated these policies. He admitted it. And my question is this. I've prosecuted people in the federal government for mishandling government documents. In other words, take it, whether they're classified or not, it is a crime if you take them home without authority.
Right.
So I'm baffled at how the DOJ is refusing to prosecute somebody who's admitted to willingly and knowingly removing government documents and had classified documents in an unsecured location at his residence. But they say that they don't think they have a criminal case. I don't understand
And they're not saying they didn't have a criminal case. They're saying they declined to prosecute. And as you know, as someone who's a prosecutor, I was with Treasury, so it's the same kind of analysis you go through with the hazards of litigation, what's the risk of litigation. There's also a much bigger investigation going on here. So this is one very small slice of a much bigger investigation, and that's what they're faced with. And so I think, Dave, while I share your frustration, I also understand, I trust what Attorney General Barr's doing, and that they are allocating the resources to go after the cases that are going to be the big cases. Now, I think that the FISA abuse and some of the other things that are going to come up here are going to be much more significant than a couple of letters.
You're a little more,
I don't like that. Listen, by the way, I want to say I don't like that you releasing memos of the conversation with the president. It's not very good.
You're a little more diplomatic than me. What I think that they should have done is waited till they got the full IG report, and then if they were going to bring criminal charges, this should have been brought as part of them. This may not have been the strongest charges when you see everything that's possible against Jim Comey. But instead of telling everybody, oh, we're not going to bring charges here, why not wait until you see everything? There may have been a decision point made there. We don't know. We're not inside the Department of Justice making that decision. But I would be a little less diplomatic, and I think they could have waited to see what was in the Inspector General's larger report and then possibly include this as crimes, maybe lesser crimes, but crimes indeed. We go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to keep taking phone calls. So we got a couple lines open. One just filled up, but you keep calling in, 1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones we go. Martha, South Carolina, on line 3. Martha, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Martha.
Thank you for taking my call. And American people are upset about two rules of law, one for the elitists and one for taxpayers. Yep. And Comey is treason. All of them are treason, and they're not. And until they do this big investigation, because on Facebook, that's all we're hoping for, because we all know this is criminal.
Well, look, here's what I keep telling you. Just, you got to be patient on these things. It's like when we took down the IRS, I mean, on the Tea Party stuff. It took three, it takes time. So they're not going to go proceeding on a case that's on the margins. That's what we call it. You got to look for a case you can prosecute. Now, I think there's a lot of things coming. I think they're going to be significant. And we have to be prepared for what that's going to be. But Wes, and you're the frustration, Martha, I get, because Wes, you handle classified documents. Mm-hmm. If you made a mistake, you'd be in real trouble.
I know of several active duty military people who are at Fort Leavenworth today for mishandling classified information. A couple of them that I know about, it was totally innocent. And so, it's frustrating that it seems like there's two different kinds of justice. But here's the deal. James Comey is not out of the clear yet.
No.
I think his exoneration dance was a little bit premature, because when the rest of the report comes out, I think there's going to be some very incriminating evidence. You know, he claimed when he testified that he knew nothing about the FISA warrants or the intel surrounding it. Well, already Michael Horowitz is saying that he lied about that. That is not true. But in addition to that, think about it. He claims no knowledge of this apparent misleading of the FISA court. And yet he is one of the signatories on the FISA warrant. Right. How can you say I had nothing to do with misleading, the potentially misleading a court, when you signed the document?
I think, Harry, that people, I do understand the frustration. And, you know, call in and give us your frustration. I get it. 1-800-684-3110. But there's other things at play here.
Yes, I think there is a much broader picture that we need to understand. And part of that picture, of course, is the probability that James Comey could be facing far more serious legal jeopardy down the road. I think one of the things that will likely trip James Comey up is his own hubris coupled with his own incompetence. And I think a wider, deeper investigation should find sufficient evidence to charge James Comey with some type of criminal offense, hopefully several criminal offenses.
All right. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. I think that the reality that people, I mean, the frustration is real. Now, Than, how are they going to play this in Washington, say, in a week when they're back? Because this is getting pretty ugly for the Democrats, too. It is.
Yeah, and there will be some attention on in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I think there will be an attempt on the left to ignore it, Jay. Look, my own opinion on this, and it sort of echoes Wes and Harry, I think James Comey knows that the gig is up, and I think he's trying to engage in distraction. I mean, he tweeted right after this that none of those four memos that he kept in that safe at home were classified as secret. Jay, he left out that two of them were classified confidential, and all of them were classified as for official use only and subject to retention and dissemination restrictions, all of which he violated. Jay, there's a point in this report where he says he viewed them as personal documents like his will or a passport, and it, quote, never would have occurred to him to give those back to the FBI. He admitted he did not seek permission of the FBI to retain those memos because he did not consider them to be FBI records. The Inspector General found exactly the opposite. Jay, that's why he said they weren't classified as secret, because he didn't want to say what they did find.
A slithering snake is how he responds to things. Yes. I treat it just like my passport. No. Your passport is yours, and you give it over, and they give it back to you. You only get it seized if you are a criminal. Making memos of notes that you've had private meetings with the president when you're the FBI director is not the same as going to the passport office and getting a passport. It's not, Jim Comey. You are a slithering snake. You are a disgrace to Washington. You're everything that the American people hate about Washington, D.C., and the bureaucracy. Your pictures looking up at trees, your holier-than-now attitude, the fact that you think you're, what, above politics when you and your wife decided, I guess, you used to be a Republican, but you got paid a lot more money when you wrote your book, so you started giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to Democrat candidates, including races like in Georgia. I mean, for governor. So we all know who you are now. A really partisan actor who got exposed. And every time you talk, you're just digging the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And I just hope that the IG does the right thing. I hope that the government does the right thing. Because I will tell you this, folks. These government officials, as partisan as some are, they protect their institutions more. These officials do protect the institutions oftentimes more than they do what is right or wrong. And that always scares me about these Washington power centers. They try to protect the power centers more than they try to do what is right or wrong.
All right, we're taking your calls when we come back. Last segment, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Still want to give a thank you to our donors of the ACLJ for our matching challenge months of July and August. You did great. We came through with it in a big way, and your support enables us to do this, including this new case we filed today. Come back from the break. We'll take your calls. Again, if you want information, ACLJ.org, and follow Jordan on Twitter, at Jordan Sekulow, at Jay Sekulow, at ACLJ. Great way to stay engaged. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
You know, I just mentioned this to our Facebook and Periscope audiences, and I will mention it to you. Yesterday we had Pastor Andrew Brunson on our broadcast. Of course, he spent 2 years in a Turkish prison for his faith, and we were, by God's grace, successful in arranging his release, which was very encouraging for all of us. But you saw the anguish that what he's been through. I mean, it was clear on his face. You could see it in what he's gone through. But the testimony of God's grace and his freedom is great. But I don't want to forget, as we get ready to this last segment and we're talking about legal issues, I don't want to forget that we've got another pastor that's in jail right now in China, and he's been in jail for also for 2 years. So don't forget to pray for Pastor Saw. Very, very encouraged for you to do that. I think it's really important for you to do it. It makes a big difference when you do that, and I encourage you to do it. All right, it is the last segment of the broadcast. We take your calls and your comments in by Facebook. This is Sheila from Facebook, said, is there a possibility that James Comey deleted evidence? You know, I don't know what evidence he did or did not delete. I do know this, that the FBI did allow the evidence to be deleted. It was called the emails and text messages on Peter Strzok's government device. I still cannot figure that one out. Forgetting that one. I mean, just focus on this one. How in the world, in the middle of an investigation, when you had this kerfuffle come up with a serious legal issue of bias and taint, and the evidence, and the guy gets, you know, ultimately fired, Strzok does, and he gets removed from Mueller's team. We still can't figure out exactly who removed him, but he got removed at some point. Although, what did they do with that evidence that he gathered during that period? That's a whole other question. I will tell you this. It is unmistakable to me, inexplicable, I should say, that they would allow Peter Strzok's phone that contained the evidence to be wiped clean. If you did that, you'd be charged with destruction of evidence. So it's more than a double standard here, but let's go right to the phones. We got people have been holding. Let's go right to Debbie's call.
Yeah, Debbie in Arkansas online too. Debbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, you
guys.
How
are you?
Thank you for all your work and dedication. I'm doing good. My question is, do we really believe that James Comey was in this alone, not to mention his two spies we knew about at the White House or we're finding out about now? This seems to be going way much higher than Comey.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth. We don't know where it's going, but I do. Listen, Comey is high up. But I think there's a lot more major players, Wes, involved in this, just from the just the way the whole intelligence, counterintelligence investigation went down.
Yeah, especially before the inauguration. You know, you had James Clapper, you know, and you have, you know, of course, President Obama, and the Attorney General at the time, Samantha Powers, you know, all of that. Before the change of administrations, we do not know how high all of this went. I can't imagine that it only stopped at the level of the director of the FBI. I would be very surprised if that's the case. But, you know, the American people, Jay, deserve better than this. But not only that, the rank-and-file agents of the FBI who have really taken a hit on this, they deserve better than what they got from James Comey. And I think there is a lot more to come. And as I said earlier, I don't think James Comey is out of the woods yet. I think this next report will be the real, real big one that the people are waiting for that will incriminate a lot of people at the highest levels of the DOJ and the FBI at the time.
All right, we're going right back to the phones. Let's go right to them. That's what we do in the last segment.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Joseph in Arkansas on line 3. Joseph, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Hey, guys. Happy September. Go
Hawks.
Yep,
you too. Yep.
My question is, hypothetically, if Trump does not get elected in 2020, will they pull the plug on these investigations that haven't made it to the courts yet? And I'm sure they'll change the AG.
They can. They certainly can. I mean, the new AG could say, you know, we're not going to follow that. That's certainly a possibility. That's why you're hopeful that these things get wrapped up before the elections. But look, I mean, yeah, ongoing investigations can get stopped. I mean, that's just the nature of it. The AG can stop an investigation. Others within the Department of Justice could do it. So, yeah, I mean, those things could happen. We'll see. I think these are going to move relatively quickly over the next several months because you're going to get into political season too, and you've got to be careful about that as well. So I think that's all relevant.
Chapter two of the book is elections have consequences.
Yeah.
I mean, especially presidential elections. So who is the attorney general? Who is the FBI director? What investigations continue? What investigations are dropped? Absolutely has to do with who wins in 2020 and who is the chief executive or president of the United States. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Donna calling from Connecticut. Actually, you know, Than pointed out right before we go to Donna that the House stopped the investigations when they took back over, the Democrats took over and switched the investigations from the Clinton stuff to the president and Russia. So that just tells you, again, how these elections have consequences. It's chapter two of The Next Red Wave, which you can pre-order at go to thenextredwave.com. You can see all the different places you can pre-order the book. Let's take Donna from Connecticut on line one. Hey, Donna.
Hi, everyone. Hey. How are you?
Good.
I just have a question. I remember hearing legal commentators saying that the FISA judges would be up in arms when they found out that they were being lied to on the applications and that Comey and everyone would be hauled into court and held in contempt.
Well, I don't know if they're going to hold. Let me stop here 1 second, Donna. Let you finish. I'm not going to say who's going to be held in contempt because we haven't seen the FISA warrants, but go ahead with your question.
Okay, that's what I was just, heard on TV. I mean, I'm reading I can read the Carter Page FISA applications online. They're saying he's like an asset of the Russian government and all these things on there. So I just, because they had said that the it was verified.
Let's go through the – so if – Harry, for those that don't know, you go to court with a false statement as a basis of getting a warrant. You're going to have real trouble.
Absolutely.
Legally.
And I think this would be part and parcel of John Durham's investigation. So the individuals who engaged in writing falsehoods, giving false statements to FISA judges, those individuals could, and in my judgment, should face prosecution along with other forms of discipline, including termination. And so I think one of the things that I hope to see as an outcome of John Durham's investigation, as he was tasked by Attorney General Barr, is that he would go after these individuals who issued false statements designed to convince a FISA judge to issue a warrant. It arguably was done in violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, and certainly one could argue that Carter Page's rights were trampled on.
I think we're going to find out that's true. Let me go to Than quickly here. So Than, they're coming back. There's all this talk about they're going to have another hearing on stuff involving campaign finance with the president. I mean, you got all this stuff floating around. What is the time frame on when everybody, because I think everybody's already focusing on who the Democratic nominee is going to be for president.
Yeah, look, I think on this issue, Jay, the activity is going to happen at the Department of Justice because there are a litany of things that Congress has to get done in the next few weeks related to spending and other things. I think the progress is going to be made at the Department of Justice and, quite frankly, Jay, through lawsuits like the one we just filed. Look, there's just an inevitability about the political calendar. If you want information to keep coming out, you have to push the ball forward outside of Congress. I'm not trying to disparage them, Jay. They're just not good at it when the political calendar starts pushing them, so we've got to fill that gap.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. You can pre-order now. I encourage you to do that. Great way to get informed and educated. A lot of the issues we talk about, he's got written up extensively in this book. So it's kind of our first take on what's happened here. Because I'm not so sure I'll be writing a book on this.
No, and it's also more of a political guide than you'd get usually from like ACLJ, as our writers do this. So it's a guide to winning in 2020 as well.
All right, so the book is The Next Red Wave, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever you get your books. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom.